Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
On a scale of 1 to 10, you're going to tell the person sitting beside you, or you're going to type it in the chat. Welcome to the crew online there. On a scale of 1 to 10, how is that going for you? 2026. Number one, one would be, oh my goodness, I want to reset. I'm going back to 2020. Said nobody ever, right? Or a 10 is, I am smashing it. This is the best year of my life already. So tell the person beside you, where are you at on that 1 to 10? I'll let you know, hey, part of this week, I'm sitting at a 1, all right? But almost in the next moment, I'm sitting at a 10. It's like crazy chaos, and there's lots of things that are just like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that. But then there's the future, and it's like, wow, look at all the great things there. We make decisions at the beginning of the year, and you know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but hey, have you ever noticed how good we are at starting things that we don't finish? We're really good at that, aren't we? We start diets, right? And we're going to use that gym membership that we paid for last year but didn't use, and we're going to get onto that this year, right? And we're going to stick to our budget this year, and our finances are going to be up and to the right, yeah? We're going to start that reading plan and read through the Bible this year. Or maybe some people are here today. I know there were some last week that said, my commitment this year was to go back to church, to get back to church. And we start with the resolutions, but then what happens? How long do they last? How long do New Year's resolutions last? Well, did some research, and statistics tell us in the first week, 23% give up, right? Those are the smart ones, right? In the first month, 64% say, had enough, not into it anymore. Mid-February, 80% of people have abandoned their resolutions. And you know, the second Friday of January, this is a real thing, it's called Quitter's Day, right? So it's something, you know, and I don't know about you, but if you struggle keeping the resolutions, the diets and the exercise and all the things and things and things, and you always quit that, you know what you're really good at? Quitting. Yeah, we're good at something. Isn't that great? We are really good at starting things that we don't finish. So why is that? Why? The reason is pretty simple. Resolutions rely on willpower. That's all about us. Faith, which we're going to talk about today, relies on God power. And there is a massive difference in those two pathways. When we make resolutions that rely on our willpower, or we lean into faith that relies on God. We're in a series now, and this is the third week, called Are You For Real? And in that series, we've been unpacking what it's like to be real. And if you have missed those messages, go back. You can get on the app right now. We've got notes for this sermon on it, so you can do all that. And then if this message was one that really wasn't for you, but it was for somebody else you know that could use that, share it with them, send it to them, and they'll be your best friend forever, because that'll improve your relationship. But at least they'll get some things out of it. So today, we're asking this question. Is your faith for real enough to trust God beyond? Is your faith, is my faith for real enough to trust God beyond? Not faith in our circumstances. Not faith in our feelings. Not faith in that great plan that you created for this year. But faith in God's character, even when the outcomes are not yet visible. That's what we're talking about today. Hebrews 11 is a highlight reel. It's in our New Testament, and it talks about a lot of people. We call them the heroes of the faith, but they were actually ordinary people who did extraordinary things, not because they were so talented or so strong, but because they had something that you need this year and that I need this year, and that's this. They had a resolve to live by faith. They determined, they made a commitment that they were going to live their lives, and faith was going to be a reflection of the choices that they made. So let's dive into this. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith, if we're going to live by that, we need to understand it a little bit. Faith is not denying reality. Faith is not ignoring the circumstances and situations and the realities around you. The health problems, the jobs, all those things that are there. Those are real. But faith sees a deeper reality. Faith is able to look beyond what is and see what God says can be. Okay, that's the difference. Faith sees God when we can't see a way. It has confidence. Faith has confidence in what we hope for. Faith is the assurance of what we don't see. And faith isn't blind, okay? We're not talking about blind faith. You ever heard that? I don't like that word because it's not blind faith. Faith is actually seeing something deeper. So here you go. Faith sees beyond the natural. It sees beyond what makes sense, what makes human sense, what you can control, we might say. Faith isn't crossing your fingers and hoping for the best. It's confidence, not in yourself, but in God. That's what faith is. See, there's a contrast between faith and sight. Sight, trust what you can see. It focuses on what you can see. Faith focuses on who you can trust. If we're going to live by faith, we need to understand that it's not denying reality. It is actually choosing to see God's reality beyond what we can see. Like, okay, if you don't see that job yet that you've been waiting for, you're still trusting God's provision. When you don't experience yet that healing that you've been praying for and others have been praying for, you're still trusting God's power. It's when the turnaround hasn't happened, the change hasn't come, but you're still trusting God's promises and his timing. Living by faith requires spiritual vision, and that's not with our eyes, that's with our hearts. See, real faith isn't proven when everything is clear. Real faith is proven when everything is cloudy. I want to tell you, I think it was Friday this week, I had a moment where I was convicted by my own sermon. I asked a couple of people, for those of you who have been around a while, you know we're doing some master planning and we've got a couple of big projects that we're trying to determine what the next steps are. And there's a couple of guys on the team that are a key part of that. The three of us are actually making some decisions about next steps. And I reached out to both of them and I said, okay, guys, here's where we're at, but we can't see past about here. And we don't know this, and we don't know that, and we don't know that. What do you guys think? Are we going to take the next step anyway? So I let that email sit for a day. Then the next day, I actually went to one of them, and I said, hey, what do you think? Are we ready to take the next step? And this person had seen my slides for my sermon. And he said, have you seen the slides to your sermon? Faith. It's not proven when everything's clear. It's proven when everything's cloudy. He's saying, we might need to take that step of faith. Now, mind you, he didn't commit in the moment. But then I checked my email, and the other person had responded. And he closed his email off by faith and prayer. It's like, okay, God, here we go. Anyway, see, real faith is not powered by what you see. Real faith is powered by who you know. And friends, I'm going to be honest with you. I like what I can see. I like being able to say, I have these resources, and I have this time, and I have this and that, and that person, and all this stuff. And I can actually put a strategy together, and we can accomplish heaps. But that still has an end when it's dependent on me. See, real faith, it doesn't take faith for me to strategize. It doesn't take faith for me to plan. It doesn't take faith for me to jump in and execute something that's going to accomplish something. But real faith is powered by who you know, and that takes you far beyond whatever you could ask or imagine. See, if you choose now to see beyond the natural, that's what we're talking about here. The question is, how do you respond? Because all these phrases feel good, and you need to take a photo of this and put it on your phone as a background, put it on your computer, that it's powered by what? Not powered by what you see, but powered by who you know. That's good, right? We want those things on our desk and on our mirrors, and put it in your car on the dash so you remind yourself of that. But there's more. We have to respond, and here's how you have to respond. Because faith steps. Faith sees beyond the natural, but it steps beyond the comfortable. Whew. That's exciting, isn't it? Are you with me? You want to go? You might be thinking, we need to do something else with that. Isn't it good enough to have the platitudes and the sayings? That's so comfortable. See, faith doesn't start with acknowledgement. Faith steps into action. It steps beyond the comfortable. I'm going to give you a few examples out of Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 7 says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. That's uncomfortable. Noah built a boat before there was rain. Noah obeyed without evidence. We go to the next verse. It says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home, go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. That sounds nice. He went without even knowing where he was going. Wow, that's uncomfortable. I've got to step, but I don't know where I'm stepping. Abraham stepped without a map. Then look over at verse 24. It says, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses chose oppression. He chose reproach instead of pleasure with God, the people that weren't God's people. See, guys, faith isn't passive. Faith means action. The word faith should be a verb, actually, because it requires action. You can say, I believe, all day long. But if we really believe, that's proven in what we do next. Belief stays internal. Faith shows up with movement. Faith is also not safe. That's what we're talking about, the comfortable. It steps. And if faith never stretches you, it's not faith. It's probably just being comfortable wearing a Christian t-shirt or a wristband that says multiply hope. And if that's where it ends, that's not faith. That's just being comfortable. Faith also is not, it's not convenient. It commits. Real faith is going to interrupt your schedule. It's going to interrupt your plans. It's going to mess with your preferences. Commitment costs something, but real faith is willing to pay the price that the commitment cost. And faith finally obeys when everything doesn't necessarily make sense. It doesn't require full understanding. It requires full trust. That's faith. You know, belief thinks, but faith moves. That's the difference. You say, I believe, I believe. Well, faith moves. It's kind of like this. If you can explain everything God is asking you to do, guess what? It's not faith. It's planning. And I love planning. But faith is bigger than that. Faith goes further than that. Faith does not wait for clarity. Faith obeys with courage. So, right now, we're going to see beyond the natural. We're going to step beyond the comfortable. Anybody ready? Ready to go? All right. Thank you. I have one in the first service. Hey, two. All right. I see that hand. Well, let's have a revival. But hang on. Some of you know what's coming next. Because if you're ready to go, there's some things we got to do. It says, Hebrews 12, the next chapter. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. We get to Hebrews 12, and it says, hey, if you're going to live by faith, if you're going to do this, you're going to see beyond the natural, and you're going to step into the uncomfortable, well, some things might have to change. You might have to set some things aside. Some things might have to be given up. See, faith stays focused beyond the distractions. That's the weight. You know, the weight that we talk about, it's not necessarily sin. It's just things that slow us down, things that aren't hurtful, but they may not be that helpful in our lives, like overcommitment. When we say yes to everything, we end up so tired that we can't say yes if God asks us to do something different. Or how about a weight of constant comparison? Scrolling, seeing the highlight reels. And you know what that does to us? That wrecks us, because when we're constantly comparing, it erodes our own confidence. And, you know, we see what God is doing in other people's lives, maybe, because we're looking at even Christian people who are saying, well, look how great life is. And we're saying, my life's not, and everything. And what we do is we want to be like them. We want God to do the same thing for us that he's doing for them. But we are an individual, and God may have something different and even better for you if you'd stop trying to be like everybody else. Oh, man, I'm preaching to myself. How about the weight of unhealthy relationships? Ouch. Those people in your life that when you spend time with them, you come away like this. Always down, always dragging, thinking, oh my goodness, they just zapped every bit of energy I had. It was my boss at work, staff, watch it. Those unhealthy relationships hinder us. They slow us down. They stop us from experiencing God's best in our lives. And how about fear? Fear doesn't stop the future, but fear causes us to lose focus. When we're afraid, it weighs us down. It weighs us down with the what ifs. Well, I've got faith, but what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this other thing happens over here? And you know what? When we're what ifing all the time, you know what we're missing out on? We're missing out on the what is. We need to trade in the what if for the what is and see what God will do with that. Maybe it's busyness. You know, busyness is not the same as fruitfulness. When our schedule is too full and our soul is empty and you're carrying weight, you're not going to win the race. Maybe it's comfort that keeps us back. It keeps us soft. And then maybe it's the whole digital overload where we have the constant noise around us that we can't hear God's voice. We can't recognize God's voice because all the other voices we're listening to. You know, this whole thing with the algorithms. You know, when we're so consumed with the input that's coming, but you know that input is curated just for you because it knows what you like and it knows what you want to hear and it's telling you what you want to hear all the time, over and over and over again. And before the internet ever existed, we did that because we would go and we would talk to people and ask for advice from people that we knew already thought like we did. We would read books that we knew were by authors that already thought the same things we did. When we would be dealing with a world situation or politics or whatever, we would go to the people we already align with, and we would never listen to the other voices to see if they had anything of value to say. Friends, those are weights that distract us. They're distractions. And they aren't sinful necessarily, but they slow us down. Then we get into the other bit, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Sin that trips us up. We got to get rid of that. Maybe it's the secret patterns in our life. We hide the thing that has power over us. But sin grows in the dark and it dies in the light. Sometimes those sinful patterns we need to expose so that we can get help getting rid of them. Maybe it's the hidden compromise. Those compromises that maybe it's in that category. Oh, it's not that bad stuff. They're small compromises, but those small compromises lead to big consequences because they don't stay small. You keep feeding them and they grow. And before you know it, you're somewhere you never thought you would be. And then another sin that might trip us up is unforgiveness and bitterness. You know, when we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, we're not punishing the person that we're upset with because they've moved on. We're trapping ourselves. We're imprisoning ourselves with that unforgiveness and bitterness, and it's killing us. It's making us unhealthy. And there's addictions. Addictions promise escape, but they deliver slavery. And what starts as relief actually becomes a ruler in your life. And these sins, the sins don't just slow us down, they trip us up. The weights slow us down, the sins trip us up. And the sins don't just drain you, they dominate you. And the question that I come away from all this exhausting list with is it any wonder we're tired? Is it any wonder that we get discouraged? Is it any wonder that we want to quit? Is anybody else feeling it? Wow. Thank you, Lord, for giving it to me. Let's get real personal. You can't run well when we're carrying things that Jesus died to lift off you. So the next part of this verse, it tells us, set aside the weights, and especially the sin, is this: and let us run with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. See, there's the good news. Yeah, I just did a dump truck of a lot of bad news, but here's the good news. We're going to run with endurance by fixing our eyes on Jesus, because perseverance flows from focus. And it's not always the fastest that wins the race. It's the one that's the most focused that wins the race. Jesus went through this. And it says that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He was more concerned about the Father's purpose than the pain. He endured the pain because of the Father's purpose for his life there. See, resolve doesn't come from willpower. It comes from focus, and it comes from fixing our eyes on Jesus, and that will give us the strength to keep going. Because when our eyes are on the problem, what do we feel? Overwhelmed. And confession, I use that word way too much. And I'm convicted about that because that means my eyes are on the problem. When our eyes are on people, you know what you're going to get? Disappointment, because we all disappoint. If we're honest, none of us are perfect, and we're going to disappoint each other. When your eyes are on yourself, you know your real self. Even if everybody else thinks you're great and good and all that, you know your real self, and you know what you're going to get when you're focused on yourself? You're going to get discouraged. But when you're focused on Jesus, your eyes are on Jesus, you're going to feel strengthened. You're going to feel hope. You're going to feel empowered. So what do we do with all this? Well, if this is the question, are you for real? Hebrews gives us the answer. Real faith, first of all, it trusts. It sees beyond the natural. And then real faith acts. It steps beyond the comfortable. And then real faith fixes its eyes. It stays focused beyond the distractions. You know, I can't stay the same day after day, month after month, year after year. If I'm living by faith, I can't stay the same. Living by faith will change you. You can't hang on to the weights and run the race. It doesn't work. You can't keep your eyes everywhere else and have them fixed on Jesus. It doesn't work. See, faith isn't proven by what you feel. We attach faith to feelings a lot. I'm not feeling it and all that. But faith is actually a choice. It's way more practical. It's way more real in our lives. So some questions for you today. Where do you need God to open your eyes so you can see beyond the natural? Where do you need him to what situation in your life looks impossible unless God steps in? Then where do you need the courage to take a step, to step beyond the comfortable? What is the next step that you've been delaying because it doesn't make sense, but you know it's the next step? And then where do you need to refocus? Focus beyond the distractions. What distraction is stealing your attention, your affection, and your direction? See, faith is not just believing God can. Faith is trusting God enough to move. And that's being for real. So a few questions for you. What is it, one thing, that you need to lay down this year? And on the other side, what's one thing you need to pick up? What's God calling you into? And with that, once you have that answer, what is one step you need to take this week? You know, this isn't just about you as individuals. It's about us collectively. Because this faith was never designed to be an individual sport. It's a team sport. A family run, if you will, or a church run. Because we run together. We carry each other. We pray for each other. We believe for each other and in each other. And we fix our eyes on Jesus together. What kind of church are we going to be this year? We're going to be a church that talks about faith, or a church that's walking in faith? Are we going to be a church that holds on to weights, or are we setting those aside so that we can be running free and fast the direction God wants us to? Are we going to be a church that's distracted by every little thing out there? Or are we going to be a church that's focused on the one who started our faith and promises that he is going to complete our faith? This year, I want to invite you to choose resolve. I want to invite you this year to choose focus. I want to invite you this year to choose faith. Ultimately, I want to invite you this year to choose Jesus, because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Because he is the beginning and the ending. Because he is the one who has gone before us. He is the one that empowers us. He is the one that carries us. And he is the one that is calling us forward in faith. So I want to invite you to stand. So today, together, I want us to lay aside every weight. I want us to be willing to strip off the sin. It's not a word that you'd like to hear a lot, but something we all deal with in our lives. And I want us to all fix our eyes on Jesus and run not in our own strength, but in his strength. I want us to run with faith, with freedom, with focus. I want us to run with resolve. I want us to reflect this, that we choose resolve over retreat. If Jesus leads, we follow. And I want that collectively. But for that to happen collectively, every one of us individually has to do that. So I want you to think it through. I'm not going to ask you to say it out loud, but how about I choose resolve over retreat? And Jesus leads, I follow. And if every one of us, and everybody that was in the first service, and everybody that's seeing this online or sees it years from now online says, yeah, I'll do that. Then we can all say together, we choose resolve over retreat. And Jesus leads and we follow. Because you know what? We are for real because we are Catalyst. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your church. Thank you for how you spoke to me this week with all this stuff, Lord. It has been fun to preach about it, but Lord, you know the wrestle for me this week even with all these things. Help us, Lord. Give us strength to step. Give us eyes to see. And Lord, help us stay focused. Help us not get distracted. Give us the passion to be committed to your calling. Lord, even when it's uncomfortable, even when things aren't perfectly clear, help us to be people who are saying yes every step of the way, trusting what we cannot see, because that is faith. Give us faith, faith to believe, and faith to act. In Jesus' name, amen.